I hope that's a prayer that you know well and that you think about often. It's a prayer I use every day in my devotions. And there's a couple of phrases in that prayer that I really think about quite a bit. And I would just caution you to think about them also. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, everybody has a community. Everybody has a place, and everybody is loved. Do we do the same here? And the other part that I often caution people to think about is forgive us, the way Holly sung it, debts. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. We're praying and saying, God, use the same measure on me that I use on other people. I often think if we really thought about that, if we prayed it collectively as a community, there'd be a lot of people that wouldn't say that sentence at all. Because you see, we want more grace from God than oftentimes we're willing to give to other people. Think about that. Today we're going to talk about a story from the Old Testament, and I want to let you know that there are two prophet names in this Old Testament story: Elijah and Elisha. Probably sounded the same to you, didn't it? Elijah and Elisha. Okay? This is a story about discipleship. This is a story about commitment. This is a story about priorities. Listen carefully as I read these words. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. In our day and age, we might call this an incredibly drastic story. But it has all the elements in it of what it means to be a disciple. What it means to follow God. What it means to be resolved to follow. And I find in our day and age that not a lot of people are willing to make a total and complete commitment. My commitment might be good for today, is the way most people work. And then tomorrow, there's something else to make a commitment to. And the next week, there's something else to make a commitment to. And these other commitments go by the wayside. I've seen families with signing folks up for all kinds of things, whether it be sports or different activities or scouts. And this is the most popular thing at the moment, and it's time to sign up for this. I want to let you know that there is an incredible number of good things out there to be involved in. An incredible number of good things to be involved in. And if you get involved in every good thing that's out there, you're going to end up being worth nothing. Because there's not enough time to be involved in every good thing. There's not enough time. You see here in this case, I want to go back and give you a little piece of the story before we get to the scripture where we are. Elijah has been having a conversation, discussion, conflict with King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. They have outlawed any following of God in just about any way that they can think of. Ahab is known as a very bad king in the history of Israel. Jezebel, his wife, is also known as very bad. And I have yet to this day met any lady named Jezebel. Because this name has been so soiled by her activity against God, against the prophets of God, against any kind of diplomacy, because she did some horrible, horrible things. And I'll let you go back and read those stories. But Elijah has come to the place where he felt like he was the only one left. No one else is following God like I am. No one else has the commitment level that I am. No one else cares about what happens to the people of God. And God shows him in some very dramatic ways that God is still involved. And God allows him to know that there are others who are still following God. He is not the only one. Some absolutely wonderful stories. It's before this chapter 19 in 1 Kings. Take some time to read them. He shows incredible faith. The one story I like the most about him is how he taunts the prophets and the priests of Jezebel and Ahab. And he taunts them in an incredible way. They build altars and place offerings on the altars. And he says, "You pray to your gods, and I'll let you go first. You pray to your gods, and if your gods come and light this altar on fire and consume up the sacrifice, then your gods are more powerful than mine. But if it works the other way around, mine is more powerful than yours." And he lets them go first. There's like more than 5,000 of them. And they're praying and they're calling out. And this is why I like the story so much, because Elijah has a lot of fun this day. He tells them, "Oh, your God's not coming? Oh, he must be asleep. Yell louder. Your God doesn't care about you. You need to yell louder." Nothing ever happens with this sacrifice. He has them prepare the sacrifice for this altar. They dig a ditch around the altar. And he gets them to go and drench this altar with water 7 times. And he prays to God, "Take this offering." And it burns up immediately. It's a wonderful story. But you see, he feels like he's the only one left. And God tells him who to anoint as the next king, who to anoint as the next general, which is in the passage right before this, but we don't have those stories in anywhere of Scripture. And then he says who to anoint as his disciple, as the next prophet who will follow on from him. And he says, "Go and find this Elisha." And you see, Elisha comes from a very rich family. Very rich. 12 yoke of oxen plowing the fields. Not just one, oxen or one yoke, but 24 oxen plowing the field. Now, here's what I would do. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Go home and Google and ask Google for an image of Elisha. I found the funniest image ever. It showed Elisha driving all 12 yokes of oxen. The man that can do that, I would greatly respect and stand back from. I would never say a crossword to that man. If he can direct 12 yoke of oxen and plow a straight field, I would be so impressed. It comes from somebody not reading the scripture closely, because it says he's driving the 12th pair. He's not driving all of them. He comes from a very, very rich family. And Elijah comes up to him and just throws his cloak upon him, throws his mantle upon him, and walks off. Doesn't say any words. There's not great indication in anywhere of history what this meant, but it's very obvious that Elisha knew what it meant. He knew that God was interrupting his life. God interrupts Elisha's life with a new journey possibility. He interrupts his life with a new journey possibility. You see, he comes from a rich family, 12 pair of oxen plowing the field. That's a rich family. He's out there working in the field. That cloak is put upon him, and he knew that this meant that this man, this prophet Elijah, was calling him into a new pathway of life. Something different. And he looks at Elijah and he says, "Let me go back and say goodbye to my parents first. And then I'll be your servant. I'll be your disciple. I'll be your learner. You'll be my mentor. Let me go do that first." And Elijah says, "What have I got to do with you? I didn't do anything to you." And in one way, Elijah is right. It's God who's calling Elisha out. It is God who's calling him out. Elijah has just been the messenger to bring the message. Well, Elisha realizes that something different's happening. Once Elisha understands what's going on, he looks to set aside his old way of life. He looks to set it aside. He realized that God is calling him out in a new way, on a new journey, on a new pathway, in a new direction that he's never been before. And he comes to understand that. And he does something incredibly drastic. Elijah sets the old way aside in such a way that he cannot go back. He cannot go back. He slaughters the oxen that he's driving. He takes the yoke and all of the harness and that and uses it to build a fire to sacrifice the oxen. And then he has a feast and gives the food to the people. You see, he's burned up his way of life. He can't go back now. He realizes that God's calling him on a new direction, in a new way, and he takes drastic action to make sure he can't turn around and go back. Now, in our culture, we have a saying, don't we? Our saying is, don't burn your bridges. Elisha understands God's call so well that he burns his bridges. He cannot turn around. He cannot go back. Sometimes I wonder what his parents thought. Because his parents don't go with him. What did they think about him burning up the good oxen? What did they think about burning up all the tack? And then it says that he follows. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant, his disciple. Because he's been anointed now to be the next prophet, the next speaker for God, the next person who comes into the midst of the community and says to folks, this is what God is saying for our present day. This is what God wants us to understand right now. A prophet doesn't speak just for the future. A prophet comes in and speaks and says, God is present right here and right now, and you have to make a decision now. What will you do? That's the job of a prophet. We've assigned the job of a prophet talking about end times and talking about the way off future. Go through and read the Bible and see how the prophets spoke so many times to right there, that moment. And he realizes this is what God has called him out for. Let's bring it to current day. God reaches out to each Christian, inviting them to a deeper spiritual walk. God reaches out to each Christian, inviting them to a deeper spiritual walk. Walking the aisle and coming forward in church to join the church and to be baptized is the very first step of a spiritual journey. It is not the last step. It's the first step. And in some ways, you have to decide that your old life needs to go. Your old way of doing things needs to go. Now you need to focus on the pathway ahead. God is inviting every Christian to that pathway. Not just a select few. Once you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is asking you to take a new pathway in life. It's not an easy pathway. And in some ways, you have to decide, yes, I'm going that way. Yes, I'm going to do that. Yes, I'm going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm going to reach out with the love of God to people who don't know God's love. Yes, I'm going to spend time in prayer to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Yes, I'm going to spend time in the Scriptures so that I can understand how God leads and guides us as a people. Yes, my life is going to be different. My life in following Jesus Christ as a disciple of Jesus Christ looks completely different than before that happened in my life. Completely different. It's not the same. Now, I do want to tell you this. God is not calling each and every Christian to become a minister full time. But God is calling you to be a minister right where you are. Right where you are. One of the reasons I had a struggle with coming into the ministry is because I worked in shipyards up and down the East Coast and the Gulf Coast. As a minister, I'm not allowed to go into those shipyards. Because a lot of times you got to have a security clearance, you got to have an ID that says you're working for somebody. I can't go into those places anymore. And I struggled with God about this. I said, God, I can't get into these places if I become a minister. So while I was there, I ministered to the people and I talked with them about Jesus Christ. And I said, God, if I follow the pathway that I think you're setting out in front of me, and he says, you have to. This is the pathway I have for you. But I want you to clearly understand, God does not have the same pathway for every Christian. God may be asking you to walk the spiritual path right where you live, right where you work, without changing any of that. But I can tell you this. Too many people hold on to the old way, and it keeps them from moving forward on a journey. Too many people hold on to the old way, and it keeps them from moving forward on the journey. I could have held on to that old way, and I could have said, this is the way I'm going to be, and this is how I'm going to live. And God kept speaking to me, saying, no, it's time to burn your bridges. It's time to move forward and to make sure you can't go back. Now, I still have my 200, 300 pounds of tools in my garage. I'm a guy. I can't get rid of tools. Okay? And oftentimes when I go places, oh, I got to buy new tools. It doesn't matter whether I'm going to use them or not. If I don't have that tool, I got to get that tool. Isn't that right, Eric? You got to have that one for the one time that you might use it somewhere in the future. Or there was one time I really needed that tool, and if that ever happens again, I want to make sure I got that tool. How resolved are you to follow Jesus Christ? Do you still want to hold on to the old way, which is going to keep you from moving forward? The old way of life, the old way of doing things, the comment that says, well, we've always done it that way. What about when God's leading a new way? What about when God's asking you to be a disciple in a deeper way? No, God, that's fine. We've always done it this way. Maybe there's some bridges that need to be burned so that we can't go back. Maybe there's some bridges you need to burn so that you can become a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Or I'll take it even one step further. Are you a disciple? Have you made that commitment yet? It's an important commitment. Do you know how to sit down with the scriptures and feed yourself? Without a devotion book, without a commentary, without any other input, can you sit down with the Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to feed you? A disciple knows how to do that. A disciple looks for opportunities to talk to other people about Jesus Christ. Are you looking for those opportunities? Got a gentleman in mind that I talk to as often as I see him. It may mean it takes me a little bit longer to do what I do when I go to the rec center. But if he's there, I'm going to talk to him. My hope and desire is that one day I can lead him to Jesus Christ by first becoming a friend to this man. I may find out eventually he already knows Jesus Christ. But right now it's about being a friend. As far as I know, he doesn't know I'm a pastor. Matter of fact, he doesn't know my right name. And it's happened for so long now, I don't know how to correct him. So when I hear somebody, "Hey, Mike, how are you today?" I know it's him. You see, my purpose in talking to him is to lead him to Jesus Christ. A disciple looks for those opportunities. Are you resolved to follow Jesus Christ? Are you resolved to put behind you what needs to be put behind you? Are we as a church willing to set aside things and be resolved to move forward on the new spiritual journey God has for us? Are we willing to set aside things and be resolved to move forward on the new spiritual journey that God has for us? That's a question for all of us to pray about. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, the story about the calling of Elisha, it may be a story where we admire him for what he was able to do. But it's a story that you're challenging us with. Are we willing to do the same thing? So that the people of this town and of this county would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Are we willing to uninvolve ourselves in places where we've gotten ourselves so busy that we can't be disciples? Are we willing to make a deep commitment to live the path you have before us so that we can see the kingdom of God grow? Lord, help us to search our hearts . Help us to let go of ways that don't work. Help us to hear your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.